We're going to pray. Father, I just pray that you help us this morning not to miss anything that you're saying to us. Lord, help us to have ears to hear. I pray that the Holy Spirit would do a work in each and every heart and life here today. And Lord, that you be glorified in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing our series called Samaritans. It is a series about the love of God for the lost, the hurting, and the outcast. And this morning, we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Bad Samaritan. Well, this morning, it's the Good Samaritan. You know, when Jesus walked this earth, the Samaritans were a despised people. At one time, they had been a part of the nation of Israel, but they had become a wicked, immoral people. They worshipped false gods. The theology was all messed up. And to the Jewish people, the Samaritans were despised. At best, they were nobodies. And here we are this morning talking about the Good Samaritan. How did the name Samaritan, that once was so despised, at one time the word Samaritan was synonymous with, you know, bad person or messed up person. How did that name be elevated to the place where we say Good Samaritan? Well, it is the story of the Good Samaritan, where the Good Samaritan is synonymous with love and good deeds and helping others. You know, the story of the Good Samaritan is so familiar. One survey showed that 49% of people claimed that they could tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And when you're talking about regular churchgoers, 69% of them said that they could at least relate the story of the Good Samaritan. But whether people can relate the story or not, almost everybody knows the general idea of what a Good Samaritan is. It's somebody that helps other people. In fact, there are schools and churches and hospitals and all kinds of organizations that have something about Good Samaritan in the name. Wow. A name that once was so despised, it was like a byword, Samaritan. And now it is equated with love and good deeds, caring for other people. How did that happen? Jesus. Good Samaritan. In Jesus' day, to say Good Samaritan, any Jew would have considered that to be an oxymoron. That's like, that can't happen. Good Samaritan, there's no such thing. The only Good Samaritan is a, never mind. Right? That's the way they were looked at. They were so despised, they couldn't stand those people. And it's through the story that the Lord Jesus told of the Good Samaritan lifted this despised people. He elevated this man, somebody who was a nobody, now is a somebody, that's recorded in the scripture, and we talk about him here on a Sunday morning. He might have been an immoral man, we don't know. He might have not had his doctrine all straight. But Jesus lifts this man to be an example of what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. The story of the Good Samaritan is found in Luke chapter 10, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 9. I want to read verses 51 through 56. It says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he, Jesus, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him." And as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, here's another example where Jesus did not do what so many Jews did. He didn't go around Samaria. He wasn't afraid to pass through there. He loved these people. But verse 53 says, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Now, there were other times when Jesus stopped in Samaria and ministered to the people. But they rejected him this time because he was just passing through to Jerusalem. And they didn't like that because of this animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. Verse 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? That spirit is still alive and well. But so many people get angry at the immoral people, angry at people whose doctrine is messed up, angry at the culture, the time that we live in. And I'm telling you, Jesus has the same answer for us as he did for them. He turns and he rebukes them and he says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. See, even his disciples didn't get it. They wanted to kill those sorry Samaritans. Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy them, but to save them. It is in the very next chapter, just a few verses later, that we read the story of the Good Samaritan, and it is not a coincidence that it's in the very next chapter, but it is an example of the love and the forgiveness of God for those that don't deserve it. They had rejected him there, and then in the next chapter, Jesus is talking about this Samaritan as an example of the one who loves their neighbor as their self. We're going to read the story. Luke chapter 10, we'll start with verse 25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this lawyer is not a lawyer like what we think of as a lawyer today. This was a man who knew the law of God. He studied God's word, and he knew what it said, but he is trying to trap Jesus. Jesus says to him in verse 26, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. You see, he knows what is right, but he's not doing it. It's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's something different to be a doer of the word and to do what it teaches. Verse 29, it says, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now notice it said he wanted to justify himself. In other words, he's not doing it, so he wants to justify himself. He has some kind of an excuse. And you know what? It's amazing how often we rationalize when we're not doing what the Bible says. We find a way around it. I want you to know you can always find a way around it if you look hard enough. Trying to justify himself, he says, who is my neighbor? See, a lot of the religious people of this time, they loved their family, their friends, and those who loved them. But when Jesus comes on the scene and he's talking about loving your enemies and loving the outcast, loving the one that you don't know, that was different. They weren't ready for that. They weren't going to do that. And you know what? It's still that way with a lot of religious people today. Verse 30. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, this story may have been a parable that Jesus told, that he just made up as an example, or it could very likely have been an actual event that took place. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a very dangerous road, and it was, in fact, a common thing that something like this would happen. They all knew of those kinds of stories of things happening like this. Verse 31, Jesus continues the story. He says, "Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side." A priest and a Levite. These were somebodies. These were the ones who were from the right family. They were the ones who were looked up to. They had the position. And they passed by on the other side. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders, but they did nothing. A lot of people today consider themselves to be spiritual people, but when they see someone hurting, someone in trouble, someone messed up, they pass by on the other side. Somebody bound by addiction. Somebody with a broken heart who's depressed. They pass by on the other side. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, one of those no good, messed up people, a Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." This expert in the law could not even bring himself to just say the Samaritan. The one who showed mercy on him. You see, Jesus took this despised man, a despised people, and he lifted him, he elevated him to be the example of what it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." A message for all of us that this lowly Samaritan is our example of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. The priest was supposed to be God's representative. The Levite was born with a special calling on their life. It was the Samaritan who was the least likely to exhibit the character of God and to love this man, to go out of his way to help this man. Priest ministers daily in the temple. The Levite, part of the tribe set apart by God for special service. They ignore the man. But this low-life Samaritan with bad theology and bad history, he has compassion on him. He cleans his wounds and bandages him, takes him to a place where he can be cared for, nursed back to health. It's the Samaritan that gave of his own time and his own money to help this man that he didn't even know. Now think about this. Jesus could have used anybody in this story. At least a Jew. But no. He used a Samaritan. He takes the nobody and he makes him somebody. A Samaritan was the one that had compassion, that loved his neighbor, that made a difference in somebody else's life. It was the Samaritan that was used by God. It was the Samaritan that was made our example. And instead of that name representing dishonor. Today it represents an honor. See, no matter who you are, what your background, your past, no matter how insignificant you may think that you are, you can have compassion on the hurting. You can be used of God to show love to those that don't deserve it, to help somebody that cannot repay. Jesus says, go and do likewise. Sometimes it's not the preacher, it's not the worship leader, it may not even be a good church member, but somebody that was willing to love somebody else and help somebody. He takes the nobody and he makes them somebody. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, that's the lowly things, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, nothing, things that are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, in spite of what the world thinks, and in spite of what some religious people think, God doesn't need the rich, the talented, the strong, or the intellect, or the wise. No, he has chosen just the opposite so that he gets all the glory. Because I want to tell you, God uses us. But it is our privilege and our blessing to be used of God. He takes those who cannot on their own, those who are nobody, and he makes them somebody. You see, when God uses you to make a difference in somebody else's life, you just became somebody, at least to that person, you're somebody. That's an amazing thing. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure, this power in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, we can't do it on our own. You know, in the natural, we might be able to help somebody and do something, do some good. But you see, to really change somebody's life, to make a difference in their eternity, that's a supernatural thing that only the Spirit of God can do through us. He raises people up. He lifts people from obscurity to make a difference in the lives of others. And if this morning you think that you are a nobody, I want to tell you, you are a prime candidate to be used by God. Remember Moses. There's a name that everybody has heard. I mean, they've made movies about the guy. One of the greatest leaders, if not the greatest leader in the Bible, other than Jesus, Moses. We all know what a great leader, what a great man of God that Moses was. But I just want to share with you his story briefly this morning. Yes, Moses from birth was chosen by God to be used as a deliverer for his people so that they would be brought out of bondage in Egypt. Moses was put in the river in a basket of reeds, and Pharaoh's daughter took that baby in. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household. He was educated in all the ways of Egypt. He had anything that he could possibly need as far as material things, raised in that household. And the Bible says that Moses was mighty in word and deed. I'm telling you, Moses at 40 years old was somebody. He was somebody, raised in Pharaoh's household, mighty in word and deed. But Moses, in his own strength, trying to help God's people, he killed a man. Not a good way to start a ministry. He killed a man, and because of that, he was exiled from Egypt for 40 years. He is in the middle of nowhere, shepherding some sheep. Now, that's a pretty good definition of nobody. You're out in the middle of nowhere, somewhere out in the desert, taking care of some sheep for 40 years. Moses became, at least in the eyes of the world, nobody, until God spoke to him from a burning bush and called him and told him it was time for him to go back and to lead his people out of Egypt. And Moses' response was not, "Yes, God, it's about time, I'm your man." Moses' response to God was, "Who am I that I should do this? I cannot even speak." Remember the man who was mighty in word and deed, and now he says, "I can't even speak." Later in the scripture, it tells us that Moses was the most humble man in all the earth. This great leader, leading probably 2 million people. And this is what the scripture, this is how it describes him. The most humble man in all the earth. That's what it says in the Bible. Moses became a nobody. And then God made him a somebody. A household name. They made movies about him. That's Moses. Here's another one. You see, we all know the after. We all know the story later. How about David, the great King David, the warrior who killed Goliath, this mighty man? But when the prophet came to Jesse's house to anoint a new king, and Jesse brought all of his sons in, he didn't even bother to call for David. He brought in all the older sons. These young men, they all looked the part. But the Lord said, "No, these aren't the one." The prophet says, "Do you have any more?" And he says, "I got the boy David. He's out there taking care of sheep." The little nobody, they didn't even care, didn't even think about bringing him in. But they brought him in, and the prophet picked him. Now, we know later, the Bible says that David was handsome and ruddy. But I'm telling you, he didn't look the part that day. The prophet said, "The Lord doesn't look on the outward appearance as man does, but he looks on the heart." And that little nobody became that great warrior. He became one of the greatest kings of Israel. I'm just telling you, God took a nobody and made him somebody. How about the man Gideon? Later, when the children of Israel were under oppression, being ruled over by another people, Gideon is hiding, trying to thresh some wheat without the enemy seeing him do it. And an angel of the Lord, now this is kind of strange when you're hiding, and an angel of the Lord appears to you and says, "You mighty man of valor." He could have said, "You insignificant little pipsqueak. What is the matter with you?" But he says, "You mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, "Wait a minute, you got the wrong guy." He says, "My family is the least in our tribe, and I'm the least in my family. I'm nobody." But God called Gideon to bring deliverance to his people as a mighty man of valor. You see, God took nobody and made him somebody. And our Lord has done that over and over and over throughout the scripture. And so I'm telling you this morning, if you think you're nobody, you are a prime candidate to be used by God. It's amazing how often the Lord brings somebody from obscurity to make a difference in eternity. See, he uses the ex-drug addict to bring a dozen drug addicts to the Lord. He uses a greedy little thief like Zacchaeus to give half of his wealth to the poor. Amazing. Again, there were lots of greedy little thieves who were tax collectors in Jesus' day, But here's the one you read about, Zacchaeus. Or that other one, Matthew, who was a disciple. He lifts us to bless somebody else, to change somebody else's life. How about that bad Samaritan we talked about a couple of weeks ago? She goes into town and brings the whole town out to hear Jesus. I'm telling you, there are some people who may have a sordid past that God is going to use to bring lots of people to church. See, we think that's, no. Some of you think, I'm the least likely to do that, Pastor. I'm the least likely. No, you're the one that God's going to use. You got a past? I'm telling you, people need to see that God changes lives. And He uses people that we think are the least likely, the nobody, the outcast. Maybe you feel like a misfit, but you become somebody very special when God uses you to touch somebody else's life. You're special to that person. You're somebody to them. Jesus took Simon the reed and He made him Peter the rock. Peter, who would boldly proclaim the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That same Peter that denied Him three times and cursed and said, I don't even know who He is. But on the day of Pentecost, he preached and thousands were saved. Jesus used these smelly fishermen and tax collectors, listen, guys who were nobody, and He made them somebody. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. And who was the first witness of the Lord's resurrection? Surely this would be some great spiritual person. It was Mary Magdalene, of whom the Lord cast out seven devils. I'm telling you, God uses those who maybe in the world's eyes, in religion's eyes, are the least likely. John Newton. You may not recognize the name, but you certainly know the song. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in our country that doesn't know the song that he wrote, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. He wrote that song. John Newton was a very wicked man. He was a slave trader. But God saved him. Called him into the ministry. And he pastored a church. He died at 82 years of age. And they buried him at his church in Olney, England. And there's a marble tablet there with an inscription that was written by him before his death. It said, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. John Newton. What a great example of a life that's truly changed, of a nobody that became somebody, that made a difference, that still today we sing that wonderful song, Amazing Grace. There was a young man at 17 years of age who was depressed, brokenhearted, started to drink every chance he got. But one day the Lord saved him. And it wasn't long until he called him into the ministry. And that young man, who was very, very shy and timid and introverted, thought, surely I will do something for God where I never have to get up in front of anybody. But I've been getting up in front of people for 38 years by the grace of God, speaking and sharing his word. And I pastor a great church in Burleson, wonderful people, loving people. I feel so privileged and so blessed to pastor this church. We have such a great youth ministry, great children's ministry, a great worship team. It's unbelievable to have a worship team with so much talent and so spiritual and anointed. I know I'm the weak link in this thing. I'm just telling you, I'm not saying that I'm somebody. I'm just saying, but by the grace of God, that God has allowed me to be used by him in some way. You see a turtle up on top of a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. It's God. But I'm telling you that God can take the nobody and make them somebody. When we are used of him, when we're willing to do what he's called us to do, he lifts us from where we are and uses us for his glory. How can we be that nobody that God turns into somebody? We got to be humble. The Bible says in Luke 14:11, in fact, it's Jesus that says it, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I just want to remind you that even after Moses became the great deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egypt, he was the most humble man in all the earth. David, even after he was the mighty warrior and king, he still says about himself, this poor man. Calls himself this poor man. He knew that without the Lord, he wasn't anything. We have to be humble, and the Lord exalts. Next, we have to have compassion on the lost, the hurting, the outcast. Just as the Lord shows us such grace and love and forgiveness that we do not deserve, we have to have that same kind of love and forgiveness and compassion for the hurting people that are around us. They're all around us every day. They come in all kinds of shapes and sizes in every walk of life. But surely there are people all around us that somebody needs to show compassion to. Next, we have to do what we can do. That's what the Good Samaritan did. He did what he could do. That's what love does. It's not talk. It's not a feeling. It's something that we do. Don't look for the big thing. Well, a lot of times it's in the small things that maybe some people won't even notice that you've done. But it's in those little things that you reach out to somebody and you make a difference in somebody else's eternity. Could you name the winner of the Heisman Trophy 5 years ago, or maybe the Boston Marathon? I doubt it. Could you name the winner of the Miss America contest 5 years ago? Or could you name any of the recent Nobel Peace Prize winners? Could you name the person who won last year's Oscar for Best Actor or Actress? Could you name one of the winners of the state lottery this past year? Could you name any of those people? And the bigger question is, does anybody care? Can you name the person who led you to the Lord? Can you name someone who helped you grow in your walk with the Lord? And you name somebody that's been there for you through a difficult time. Can you name somebody that loves you and prays for you? Can you name somebody that you know that you can go to if you need help? You see, what the world looks at is important. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is that we be that person to somebody else. Because you can be a billionaire. You can be a famous movie star or rock star. You can be a world-class athlete. You can be a great philanthropist. And in eternity, be nobody. But you are somebody in eternity when you make the difference, when you help somebody else, when you love somebody else, when you do like this Samaritan. And you know what? Every one of us can do that. No matter how insignificant you think you are, no matter how lacking you are in talent, ability, or what you think you have nothing to offer, all of us can do that. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you leave none of us out, that you have a place for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Lord, that you care so much about us. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, first and foremost, I pray, Lord, for the one that feels like an outcast. Lord, for the one that feels like that person that's been rejected and put aside. I pray, Father, that today, Lord, they'll find their place in your kingdom. I pray that today, Lord, they'll find the love of God to change their life forever. I pray that today, Lord, they'll begin a new life with you. Father, I ask you this morning that all of us, Lord, would have a heart for those that are hurting in our world. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would use us, Lord, to reach out to others and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.